We will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
7:03 p.m.
Pledge allegiance to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America.
And to the republic.
To the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Roll call, please.
Sure, this is the March 18th meeting of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. Start the roll call. Ms. DeGennaro?
Here.
Ms. Dugato?
Here.
Ms. Vidomsky?
Here.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino?
Here.
Mrs. Camille Curtica?
Here.
Mr. Sill?
Here.
Mr. Jim DiMartino?
You're on mute, Jim.
Unmute. Okay, I'm here.
That a boy.
Mr. Hyder?
Here.
Mr. Sampson?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, the record should reflect that all nine aldermen, alderwomen are here, and you have a quorum.
Excellent. Number four, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak?
Chuck Stanky, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, sir.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody, a day late.
Yeah. Well,
you know, Chuck, before you start, I forgot that Richard Dick Pivirotto passed away on the 13th. And if we can just pause for a minute, he was a police commissioner.
Absolutely.
Republican town committee chair, Catholic War Vets vice commander.
He's
on the Board of Aldermen. So we can just give him a moment of silence, please, for all his work that he did for the city and the community. Thank you. Sorry about that, Chuck.
Not a problem. Honor the veterans and the people who work for our city. Absolutely. Chuck Stanky, 126 David Humphreys Road. I just want to speak on item number six. I just want to ask you folks during your deliberations that you remember about the charter revision and how we worked all summer long to put in a lot of work and yeoman's work, everybody on that committee. And just remember that in your deliberations here and that on the committee and when it went through, it wasn't a Democrat or Republican thing. It was a bipartisan thing. So I know you folks have a daunting task in front of you, but that's all I wanted to ask, that you remember all the work that we put in and then the voters approved it. Thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. You guys did an awesome job. That was a lot of work. Anybody else from the public?
Yes. Anello Malerba, 41 Lakeview Terrace. And I was also a charter revision member. And I'd like to speak in regards to the mayor's compensation package. As we all know, in November, the voters came out in large numbers and said that they were tired of the mayor not being full time. And in doing so, they have entrusted this board with setting not only the salary, but the entire compensation package to reflect that vote. As a community, I think we need to have the mentality where we constantly strive for better. And that starts with leadership, and it starts with the mayor's position, which is why it is crucial we get this compensation package right. With that being said, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public?
Yes, Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive, Derby. Well, I'd like to speak on both items, but first I'd like to speak, and I want to know why the Boys of Summer wanted the field, and they applied in 2020, it's 2021, March, and they still don't have an answer. And every time it goes to a subcommittee or it goes somewhere else, they play this game. It's got to go back here. I think it's baloney. Okay. First of all, we didn't pay a dime for those fields. I don't know why the Board of Aldermen has to stick their nose in everything. Should leave it up to the Dennis O'Connell. I mean, let's get things done. We got a beautiful complex and no one wants anybody to use it. It's so stupid. What's the sense of even having it? And that's it. I'm disgusted. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Anybody else from the public? Anybody else from the public? Third and last call. All right, hearing none, we're gonna move on to number five, Boys of Summer. Excuse me.
So,
Boys of Summer proposal to use Peyton Field.
Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, and I had asked for this item to be placed back on the agenda, and I appreciate that. I'm just going to say, John Netto, I'm going to apologize for him. Him and I have been in a great conversation over the last couple of weeks. But he was scheduled to teach a class tonight at 8 o'clock for the police department. They moved him to 7 o'clock. So he will not be able to attend. This is on here for discussion only. I've got a lot of notes from John and a lot of conversation. So I'm going to bring this item up again, because last time we left it tabled, and therefore I believe it should come back up. We were given a proposal by the Boys of Summer, and literally the proposal, went forward to Mr. O'Connell. And I know that we had asked Mr. O'Connell just for a couple of minor things. I don't know if I don't see Dennis on here.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, I got you. So we'll get to you, Dennis.
Okay.
But I believe too that the Boys of Summer should be allowed to utilize the field, and we should seriously take a look at the proposal that they've given us. And speaking with Mr. Netto, I can tell you that they have other proposals in front of them from people with other fields available, more available than what they are actually offering to utilize our fields for at a considerably less cost to the team. But Mr. Netto wants to bring this to Derby because he believes that, our facility is much better fit for them. He's also a Derby person. And they do a lot for their community, that they actually run these clinics and everything else that they do in. They donate bats, helmets, buckets of baseballs that they have to the local teams when they're done. Some of our school teams are actually utilizing some of our equipment after they finish or during the season. And looking at the compensation that they're talking about, yes, it does come with them selling advertisements. And I believe that we just assumed that those advertisements that they wanted to place on the field would be hanging on an outfield fence. And this is not what they want to do. What they would like to do with the advertisements is actually that rock wall that runs up behind the first baseline. They would like to just put a couple of poles in the wall, in the ground there, not through cement, obviously through rocks, move a rock or two, and then string their signs up so that it faces out at the field during their games. The other component to that part of the advertisement is the Boys of Summer are also willing to share the revenue that they get from advertisement with the school. And I've talked to Superintendent Conway, who may or may not be on this call also, but he was willing to sit down and go over that. And he actually liked that idea to help his kids out. The last part I'm going to talk about and see if anybody has any questions, and I'll try to answer them the best I can based upon all these emails that I have from John and our discussions. But, during these games, the Boys of Summer are not looking to take any of the concessions. pardon me. Any of the funding from any concessions that could be run during these games. He has offered those to any organization that would like to man the concession stand or to the school itself if they have any groups. I know that we've done this in the past. I don't know if it was the girls softball team, but I know that there are other Derby High School teams that have manned the concession stand and got 100% of the profits from doing that. I'm going to kind of agree with Mr. Lionetti. I think that we have them, I know, very rare, but I think we have an opportunity here. We have an opportunity to help young men and women that want to play sports, utilize a field that you know, beyond a reasonable doubt is the best thing that is in the state of Connecticut and available. So I once again, just asked for this to come up so that we just could discuss it. And maybe if there are concerns that I can't answer, I could bring them back to Mr. Netto. But I think that this organization definitely needs some sort of direction on an affirm yes or affirm no. The only thing, Mr. O'Connell, we had asked last week if you could just give us what they're only looking to use. It, I believe it was two nights a week for practice and then Saturday and Sundays. What if we ran them the full cost, what the full cost would have been versus the $18,000 that they're offering?
Yes, I did. You know, I don't have them in front of me, but I did put the numbers together. A lot of that would have to do if indeed we did place them in category three. Category four is the number would be really, really large and probably not attainable at all. I think off the top of my head, I think that with category three, if we were to charge for each and every hour, I think it was $32,000. However, you know what? I can't tell you 100% for sure that that's what it is. I do believe it was $32,000. You know, they've offered 18. I don't know if you want me to say anything more. Fitting them into that field is really, really easy. We have lights, we have turf, you know, for example, on a Saturday and a Sunday, we could play five games on a Saturday, five games on a Sunday, really with no problem. And they're not asking for that. I'm just telling everybody, the capacity that, this field has, you know, to house, baseball games. We've got plenty of time. We've got time for other programs as well. If we have a Legion program, we have time for them. Little League is starting a 13 to 15 year old program, which used to be Babe Ruth. They contacted me. We would have time for them.
Demo.
So,
Demo, let me cut you off. Demo, let me cut you off real quick. I know we had a meeting today, or it was yesterday, about removal of the mound when the softball team's playing and then putting it back on, because I know Public Works say they might incur a little overtime to replace that. Will that have any effect on it? And that's one question, Charlie, you can mention to John.
Yeah. Evan. Okay. So today we had the meeting and went over the spring schedule with the girls softball coach, Joe DiMartino, who's probably on this call. Our new baseball coach, Ed Armino, myself, and our custodial staff up there. So, we did that today, and we went through each and every day through the entire season. We went day by day. As of today, you know, what we learned is that what Ed Arno is facing in overtime at this point in time is not very much at all. The baseball coach agreed to hold some practices without the mound on the field, and the softball coach agreed to hold some practices without his fence on the field. So with those guys agreeing,
that's all well and good for the high school. My question is, did you bring up the boys of summer if they have to? Because I know they can't play without that mound. So if by chance we had to bring Public Works in to set that up, who's going to pay for that?
They won't, Mayor. They won't be playing when the spring sports are going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they won't. They won't. The boys of summer. They were hoping to get some preseason work in, preseason being before the high school baseball season. Now that we're starting baseball next Monday, and softball next Monday. They won't be coming back. They won't be coming to the field until June, until we are entirely done.
Yeah, as long as you guys are thinking about that, and as long as you guys were thinking about that, you know, I just happened to hear that today in passing, so I wanted to make sure that was covered under all this.
Well, Joe can tell you. Joe was there today too. Am I right, Joe? I don't think we came up with hardly any overtime instances.
Right. Just opening day is the only time.
Yeah. That opening day is right. You're right. That day where Mrs. Payton's going to be, on Zoom or something, whatever. That's the day you're talking about, right, Joe?
Right. Where the boys and the girls are both playing at home. So that's the only day.
No, that's cool. Throw that out there, make sure that was covered in case the summertime.
We actually had a real good meeting today, and we got a lot done. So that could have been a real tough thing to deal with the two teams there and, on and off and mound on, mound off, fence on, fence off. The coaches were real good about it. And it looks like we have a solid plan, and we're going to work together real well.
And Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, if I could just add a couple of things that Mr. O'Connell brought up. And I know we've talked about the Boys of Summer not being a non-profit, which put them into group number four versus group number three as a non-profit entity. I have been assured by Mr. Netto that the appropriate paperwork has been filed, and they are expecting to get their nonprofit status back very shortly, number one. Number two, another thing that Mr. Netto is willing to do on behalf of Boys of Summer is their games that incur costs for lighting on the field. They are willing to negotiate that cost also, even though this entity has not put a cost on lights for any other use of it, but they're willing to bend over backwards. They're willing to change their schedule. If Dennis has an issue that comes up, they're willing to, only hang signs on that first baseline up in the rock area, so nothing's hanging off of fences. That they're really trying to be accommodating. And like I said, they have several other offers that are better per se than this one, because they have one offer. They can use a field 7 days a week, and it's less costly, but they feel that they want to be in Derby. They want to utilize this facility, and they will incur the extra costs to them based upon the field that they would have available, that we would make available for them. Yeah. Now you're muted.
Any more discussion?
Okay. Anything else? Anybody, any questions for Dennis?
The only thing I had, Den, was we talked about it at the Parks and Rec. We talked about it at the last Board of Alderman meeting, and you were going to get in discussions with John. And we one of the biggest things was the signs. Now, is he talking about putting the signs way up on the fence above the rocks?
No, not on the fence. So what they would do, Ron, is where the rocks go up that hill, they were talking about putting a pole on one side, a pole on the other side, and running the string with the signs on them along that pole. So it wouldn't be hanging on any fence. It would just be a pole that they put in the ground. And the signs would not stay up there 24/7. They would be up there for the events that they handle, and they would come down. And on the same thing, the school could utilize the same signs, which they also were in favor of doing.
So it wouldn't be on the wall where the ivy's growing or nothing. This would be a separate string deal.
Correct.
That's fine. And Dennis, have you been in contact with John?
Yeah. Okay. I talked to John 2 days ago, and we had a lengthy discussion. Time's running out, to be honest with you. And I just hope that, that, the decision hasn't been made in the last 2 days. I haven't heard anything since we talked, which was Tuesday. So I don't know anything further. But like Charlie said, there is another possibility for them. And, I guess we run the risk of them making a decision sooner than later and us being, on the outside looking in. So I don't know. I think that every day that goes.
What are we waiting for on our end? It's a go then, right?
Yeah, why don't we vote on it?
Well, unfortunately, it's on the agenda for discussion only tonight. We could bring at this special meeting. We can bring it up next week. I just want to make sure everybody was clear. And I'm John. John knows it. Next week, there's another meeting. And well, like I said, he apologizes, but he'll try to make the next one. Just so there are any more concerns, he could deal with it.
I'll put it on next week's meeting.
Yeah, excellent. And as going down the wire, not to string him along another week, have him know pretty much that it's going to go then.
Well, Dennis, Rob Hunter, just to clarify, if another organization was looking to come in and pay full price on a day that the Boys of Summer have the field, how is that going to work?
Sure that Dennis would work that out with.
Yeah. Well, listen. I don't think that would be a problem. We kind of did talk a little bit about that with John Netto. The reduction in costs for the Boys of Summer is because of the quantity of the time that they're asking for. Obviously, we do not want to eliminate ourselves from making a reservation for someone that will pay, the entire fee. That would be probably someone that came to and asked for the field, on a day or weekend or, something not even close to what the Boys of Summer is requesting. The Boys of Summer is looking at, three months of four times a week. So again, I'll go back to me saying that on a Saturday and a Sunday, we can play five baseball games and get them in a reasonable time. And that doesn't mean that we're playing till 11 o'clock at night. It doesn't. The Boys of Summer are not going to play five games on a Saturday and five games on a Sunday. So I think that every weekend, there's going to be a chunk of time remaining at the field anyway. Two nights a week is what they're asking for. I don't know what nights they would be. That hasn't been said. I hope that we facilitate the Firemen's Softball League, which is Monday night. So I would ask them to stay away from that if they end up coming. I'd like to see the Firemen play up there on Monday nights, like they did last year. That's it. But again, I'll go back to, if you put on a calendar all the hours that this field can facilitate, it's really a lot more than you would think. And listen, I off the top of my head, I don't know. Maybe somebody knows how many teams the Boys of Summer has. Is it four? Is it five? Again, there's plenty of time, on these fields. And I think scheduling after the school programs are done, I think scheduling through the summer, I don't know. I consider that to be real easy.
Rob, I talked to Johnny Netto about that. They are very amicable to change their schedule around to accommodate whatever Dennis has that comes up that may take a precedent over it, especially because they only wanted two nights a week for like 4 hours. If somebody needs to jump in there, they can pick any two nights basically that are free. The hardest part for them would be is if they scheduled a tournament on a specific date. It's kind of hard for them last minute to change that date. But other than that, John said that they, once again, they'll change their schedule as needed.
Yeah. And getting back, you said the key word there, Charlie, tournament. I do believe in the proposal. A tournament would be a different fee schedule, I think. I'm pretty sure. So, you know, I think they covered that as well because, you know, they could be bringing in other teams in a tournament that you may have a team play another team and neither one of them is the Boys of Summer. So I'm pretty sure that it.
Yeah, they will renegotiate that. They also have other events that take place with the Boys of Summer that they're willing to negotiate. Boy Scout gatherings and things like that, that, you know, they know that is outside of the purview of what we're allowing them to do, and they're willing to negotiate that. But, you know, once again, we could make money off of this deal. We could make money for the schools. The schools want to step up and man a concession stand. They can make money off of this deal. So, you know, other organizations can walk in and make money off of this deal. I would ask that we, once again, thanks, Joe, for putting it on next week, but I would ask that we seriously consider this proposal.
It's Barbara. Just for next week, can we have the actual proposal? I think that was one of the reasons why it got tabled, because the proposal had, I don't want to say inconsistencies, it wasn't clear. And there was question. So if we're going to be discussing and voting on something next week, we need to have the proposal, what it is.
I don't know what more you would get, because I know that, you know, we had the proposal. I brought it to Mark Garfalo. We condensed it because he felt it would be the right thing to do for the Board of Aldermen. So I don't know what you got that would be different than what we would give you.
Dennis, I'm talking about the letter that came a month, 2 months ago, whatever it came to get to the full board. In that letter was, you know, suggesting about putting signs on the fences. Now we're talking about the signs going near the wall. So just clarify, what are we, I'm not saying it's got to come from the Boys of Summer and whatever discussion Alderman Sampson has had with Mr. Netto. I mean, that's all I'm asking. Yeah. I mean, that first letter, I don't think we've seen anything else. We haven't seen anything else, or I haven't.
No, I agree with Barbara. There were that was one of the issues, is there were details missing, or, you know, a little ambiguous, and so we were looking for some clarity, you know, before we decide.
The sign situation, I'm the one who really, I guess, started the rumor that the signs would be on the fence, because I didn't know anywhere else that they could go. But I don't think the Boys of Summer ever said anything about where they would be. What Charlie told us tonight is new information. That's new information to me, because that's the first time I'm hearing about the signs being where Charlie mentioned tonight. And I'm the one who started the fence thing. Okay.
I'll make sure that Johnny Netto updates.
That's exactly why we need to know what we're talking about next.
Dennis,
week.
I'll make sure that Mr. Netto updates his proposal, including sign placement, and gets it immediately to Dennis. And I will have him send it to Mr. Garfalo so it can be mailed in its entirety to everyone on this board.
Before the meeting.
Well, before the meeting, I will make sure I will have him do it before this weekend is out.
Very good.
Point of clarification on this. Are we talking about the signs being up 24/7 or just during game times?
Just during game times.
All right. So they're going to come down. So it'll be up for 2 hours, essentially, or whatever. Hours, how many hours are there? Right.
Just the games. Right.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let's move it on.
Any more discussion on this? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry. I'd like to just point out one more aspect of this. When Joan Payden arrived in Derby several months ago for the grand opening of the complex, I just want to throw this out there for this board to ponder, that there were members of the Boys of Summer picketing that day. So the opening of the complex. So I just wanted to make that noted.
So noted. Any more discussion? Okay, hearing none, we will go to number six, compensation package for mayor of the city of Derby. Discussion, possible action. We have a motion.
Well, we're going to discuss it, right?
Yep. Oh, discussion, I'm sorry. Yep.
Start with discussion.
So we can start. You want to split this up? You want to start it off with the compensation package first and then the salary? How do you guys want to do this?
No, I think that's fine.
It all ties in.
Yep. Whoever's ready.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, Charlie Sampson, if I could.
Go for it, sir.
So, Mark, can I share my screen? Hang on 1 second here.
Yeah. Yes,
put a little
you can.
Something up here yes, that I wrote
yes,
up.
Yes, you can.
I got it, bro. All right. So what I kind of based upon investigating that I did and looking at this, what I would recommend is the first term, first year, the mayor's base salary be moved from $45,000 to $65,000. Now, what that equates to is the base salary of $45,000 was set 15 years ago in 2005, took effect in 2006. I know that we went through some tough economic times in 2008 with the housing market crash, which also crashed the stock market. But I believe that if we had raised the salary 2% each year over the last 15 years, we would actually be at a total base salary right now of $65,000. So if 45,000 15 years ago was good and we stuck with somewhat of the CPI over the last, you know, 15 years, we would still be at a base salary of 65,000. I'd also like to see the first term city mayor be allowed to roll in the insurance. And if they do not want the insurance like other city hall members, they get a $2,000 stipend. Now, that would be based upon the City Hall union contract costs. Currently today, City Hall union pays 15.5% of the insurance cost, which July 1st of 2022 goes up to 16%. I'd like to see the mayor, instead of getting unlimited gas, get a gas allowance of $3,000 a year for the mayor's car specifically. We can also, as we offer new employees today, a 457 investment account through the city administration or city administered account. But not on top of that, I would like to see the city match 5% of any contribution made by the mayor into that. Now, as other people have brought up the term full time and what that means, and I would disagree with some folks who don't think that getting called at 10 o'clock at night and because you're off at a meeting at 8 o'clock and things that you have to do doesn't mean you're not full time. It's a 24/7 lifestyle, as Mr. Garfalo put it. But going along with that, because we're kind of saying it's more of a 9-to-5 type of job, I'd like to add in 3 weeks of vacation in the first year. After the first term, the second year and subsequent years, if reelected, I believe the mayor should get better compensation. I believe that we've been doing it wrong. I believe that the mayor's base salary should get the same raises that the teachers union contract gets on the yearly anniversary of the swearing in date for the mayor. This is the only contract in the city that the mayor does not negotiate, or he or she cannot influence that raise. That's why I'd like to tie it into the teachers union contract and those raises. So for the second year and each subsequent year, the mayor would get a slight bump. The reason I say this is because if we did what we did in the past 15 years ago and just give a flat $5,000 raise every term, we're actually giving the mayor a 3.8% raise from 65 to 70 next, after the first term, which actually equates to a 7.6% raise. And we're not giving that to anybody else in the town. So, you know, I think it's just fair that if we're offering employees in this town, you know, on an average 2-2.5%, that the mayor should be able to take a 2 or 2.5% raise, and it will also keep their compensation going up. So first term, immediately second year, you will get the raise based upon what the teachers from the school are getting in their contract. In the second term, you would bump from 3 weeks vacation to 4 weeks vacation, also getting once again the same raise as the teachers if you survive a first term and enter into a second. And in the third term, it would go from 4 weeks to 5 weeks vacation. The only stipulation I would put on the vacation is it's specifically stated that any unused vacation time will not be paid out at the end of your term serving as mayor.
And the 5 weeks is a max.
5 weeks is the max, just maxed out at 5 weeks. Once again, I feel that this is fair compensation. I feel that, you know, that if we had gone this 2% raise over the last 15 years, this would be exactly where we're at, $65,000 base salary. And in this package, you know, 65, you don't take the insurance. Now you're at 67. You get 3,000 for gas. And we're giving you a little something upon your retirement with the 457 investment account, if you so choose to take part in that.
Charlie,
yes,
it's Barbara. In this, you know, currently the mayor gets a $5,000 expense account. Is that excluded out of this proposal?
Or was it considered?
So, in doing my
due diligence in that $5,000 expense account, what I found is in the past, the mayors have utilized that funding for things like buying flowers for the secretaries on Secretary's Day, buying meals for the town hall employees, a Christmas party for the town hall employees. That's what that $5,000 is spent on, or a majority of it is spent on. And I would only hope, because I can only hope, Barb, that future mayors will continue the tradition of doing it that with that money.
Well, then maybe it would be called something else. But that was a question I had. The other question, I don't know who can answer this because I don't know the true answer, because I know that this 457 plan is new to the city. Is the city matching? Is this the percentage they're matching?
So currently the city does not match anything for the town employees. And Drew Backlett can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's a conversation I had with Drew. What I'm asking for is, because you are the mayor, we give them a little something and we match 5% of any contribution made. So that means that the mayor would have to take advantage of this 457. And if they don't, then they don't get the 5% match.
No, I understood that, but I didn't know if there was a match. I didn't think it was, there was, but I wasn't sure. So currently
there is not.
Currently we have a 401A for the new employees.
Right.
And there is a 2% contribution annually of the employees' annual salaries that goes into a separate account that they cannot contribute to. Separate and apart from that, they are able to contribute to a 457 that the city does not contribute anything to.
Okay. So, all right. That's all. Okay.
You're also going to have to look into it. The 457 is a pre-tax. So whether that's a benefit, if they're able to write that off, I'm not sure. Or that just adds to their deferred comp, I'm not sure.
So you are correct. It is a pre-tax that it goes into, but obviously they pay the taxes when they take it out. But it is a little something. And just, you know, Barb, to go along with what Andrew said, because they won't have access to the 401A that the other town hall employees do. That's why I added that 5% match of the contributions. And I'm just one other point, because I know I brought it up about pensions, and I know, you know, healthcare and all that other good stuff. Those are liabilities to the city, and that's why I stayed away from them. A pension is a liability. I get a pension if I'm in a place for 10 years. I only get a 20% pension after 10 years. It's still carried as a city liability for the rest of that person's life. And if we set a pension after 2 years, well, I'm trying to explain to the whole board that's why I'm against a pension or healthcare even. Carrying forward, because it's an OPEB, it's a liability. So I stayed away from those and did not propose them.
Yeah.
Charlie also.
Well, it's Barbara. I mean, I understand that on the pension. Obviously, you have to vest. And most employers, you're not getting a pension unless you vest after 5 years, 10 years. So that is understandable.
I agree. I brought it up, though. I brought it up last meeting, and that's why it's not on my proposal. And I wanted to explain why it wasn't on my proposal after doing my homework.
And Charlie, if the mayor who's sitting in there doesn't want to participate in that, the city's paying nothing. Or if that person's maxing out, then you're going to do 5% of the max out, which could be up to 20. I think it's 20,500 right now.
Well, it depends on your age, Mr. Mayor. It does break at 55, which I just hit, and allows me to put more in. But if they do take advantage of it, the best part about a 457 is if the mayor's out after putting money in there for 6-8 years, they can roll it over to their next career. I know Ron wants that. He wants to roll that over to his next career.
Yeah, I just turned 55 myself the other day. Charlie, one thing on that $2,000, if they don't take the insurance, if they're married, is it like the others get $4,000 or $5,000 or family? Or
no, according to the City Hall union contract, it's a straight $2,000 stipend if they do not take city insurance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we negotiated that into our contract.
I must be thinking of the police contract or something.
Yeah, those cops are crazy.
I have a question, Anita Dugato. Is the 457 already in effect with the Board of Education, or is it something that needs to be set up?
I'm pretty sure it's only with the City Hall, Anita, police, fire, and City Hall.
The school does have... The school does have a compensation package, but I'll let Mr. Backlick talk about that, because City Hall does have a 457 plan available.
Yes, we have a 457 in City Hall, and for city employees, I know the Board of Ed has an annuity of some sort for some of their administrators, but I'm not familiar with that. We have not been involved with any of their contracts. Those would all been just from the administrators who negotiate with the Board of Education directly. So we do have a 457 that would be pretty easy for us to add an employee.
I don't think the Board of Ed has their own, and this is mainly for city employees.
Right.
Not Board of Ed.
Correct.
But we can verify that through Empower, but I'm almost positive that Board of Ed can get into it.
Just out of question, Charlie, have you, put in, I know 2%, I know the Board of Education gets more than 2%. Did you see what the salary would be with a 3% from 2005?
I did not, because I understand that the Board of Education in this contract that we just approved 2 years ago got a couple of years of, I believe one was 3.14. Right. I believe another one was 2.85, but everything else, if you look at the other, unfortunately, we don't get to negotiate those contracts, but the contracts that we negotiate, on an average, we give out 2% to 2.5%. But no, I did a 2% raise. And if you want to go back to 2005 and 2008, we had unions taking zeros because of the economy. So I would have to factor zeros in. I left it a flat 2 because even the CPI is not at a 2, but a flat 2 seems to be something that to me was palatable.
But not based in reality, kind of, because
But which contract would you like to take, Ms. Dugato? Would you like to go with the school's contract since 2005? Would you like to do town halls? Am I including zeros that everybody took? The police department just took a zero. In the last contract, maybe we should add zeros in there too to see where we should be at. I just felt that on average was 2% across the board, and that's how I got to the 65.
Right. I believe 65, even 70, is really too low in this day and age to support a family. That's just my opinion.
All right, are we done with the compensation package? Are we done discussing that? Everybody kind of agree, or they got anything else to add?
Or does anybody else have a package they want to talk about? Charlie brought this one up on his own. Any of the older men or women have anything they want?
I do agree with some of what Charlie says. Am I able to screen share?
Absolutely.
Let me stop, Sarah. Hang on one
second. Thank you. Thanks, Charlie.
No, thank you.
All right, let's
see. I put the right screen up. You guys didn't want to see the other one.
Let's see. Am I good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can see him. Okay, so you can see, you know, I kind of tried to do a general comparison of, a City Hall employee, what the current mayor makes, and then a proposed compensation package. And so I would propose an $80,000 first term, based on some of the CCM data that the administration has provided, in addition to a lot of the testimonies we've heard at, or not testimonies, but the opinions of the public during the public portion. I agree with Charlie. I changed this. I originally had it as our the current $5,000 increase, and then at some point it was an 8% raise. I agree with Charlie that increases based on the teachers union contract sounds completely reasonable to me. Health benefits per the city contract, vacation, 15 days first term, 20 days second term, third term, 25 days, and that ends there. Gas, I have unlimited, but I would not be opposed to Charlie's $3,000 for the mayor's car. I did have the expense account in here as well as the reimbursable expense account, the $5,000 and $1,000. Life insurance per the contract. I'm crossing out the pension. I understand the liability. Note that Charlie stated, and the defined contribution plan, whether it's a 457 with a 5% city match. I also think, if we have a mayor that gets to a sixth term, something's going really right. And at that point in time, I would propose, the next set of benefits, health benefits for the mayor and spouse after 10 years of service as mayor. Those are my thoughts.
Otherwise, I think everybody's pretty much agreeing.
Well, I don't know that I'm agreeing with $80,000, Barbara. I'm going to make the comment I made the first time we discussed it, and but the mayor, there's no qualifications for the mayor, and I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not, but the bottom line, there's no list of qualifications to be the mayor. And your only qualifications are that you're a resident of Derby and you're an elector. I could live with $65,000, because there's still expense of things that are proposed here. I don't know that we would have a five-term mayor that could get to something along the lines that Sarah just said at starting a sixth term. But I kind of agree with most of what Charlie has proposed. Because at the end of the day, it still comes out to be a good dollar amount for a position. And I'm certainly not minimizing the position at all. But I just, it's the fact. There's no list of qualifications that says how you are the mayor. It's an elected position. We can't control hours. We can't do those things. So those are my thoughts on the proposals.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think I'm more back down to the $72,000 range that I started with 3 weeks ago. I have a little room to negotiate if we can get a nice group of us to settle on one price, you know, one figure. I think we're between 65 and 72, and we've got a couple 80s there. So we just got to rein it in. Let's discuss
Ron,
it.
What are you talking about, though, Ron? Are you talking about all the extras that Charlie brought up and that Sarah brought up? You're just going to say 72 and that's it, or?
I'm talking about Charlie. I was in favor of all that when I was discussing that, when I chimed in with him. But yeah, if we're starting to talk about salary, which it seems we are, I'm in the 72 range, 70 range, you know.
Well, Ron, Charlie Sampson, once again, if you think about it on my proposal and go back, even at $65,000, the expense account of $5,000 that, once again, I hope the mayor would use for doing the right thing is actually there. So I'm back to 70 with just that alone. You put in a $2,000 stipend for insurance that they don't take, you're at 72. So we are close to your 72 with the package that I've proposed. And my only thing is, you know, when you say 65 and all of a sudden they do take the insurance, they're still at 70, and that insurance could cost the city upwards of, you know, $29,000 for a family plan minus the 15.5% they would have to pay based on the city hall union contract. So it's pretty lucrative package if you ask me overall. And what I'm just going to go back to, this is why we asked for a package and not just set a straight salary for this thing, because in the totality, for the position of mayor of the city of Derby, it's better than the salary of the city of Vansoni, if you ask me, the total package. It's up there with par with some of the data for CCM for the other towns that rate close to us.
No, I think that's good. Like I said last time, the mayor of Ansonia is right now between 70 and 72, and he's on his third term, and they have 6,000 more residents, you know.
Right.
You agree, Ron.
Do you think you should go to a subcommittee with the proposals from Sarah and Charlie, kind of come up with one or two proposals, bring it up to the board? I personally can see this going on and on, month after month, because there's a bunch of different ideas. But I think if you guys can come collectively together and put a package together and then have the board.
This, Mr. Mayor, yes. I'm going to make a motion that we accept the proposal as I stated.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second Jim DiMartino.
All right. Any discussion?
Yeah, I think if we continue it on and on, we're going to get further apart instead of closer together.
I think that we're close, and it would be nice to go to committee to iron out the last details before we vote on it.
Any more discussion?
Where are we at? The 65 with Charlie's proposal? Is that where we're at?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Any more discussion?
I just had on Charlie's proposal where it said that it was yearly for the increase, but it said at swearing in, which are a year apart because they get sworn in every 2 years and the increase is yearly. So I just wanted to point that wording out.
It actually says the anniversary right? date, the anniversary date. So that would be, if you get sworn in January 1st, a year later is January 1st again. That's when you get your raise.
Anniversary day wearing it. So you're just saying every year there's an increase.
Every year on, yeah, January, whatever, first, second, whatever we do, there would be an increase of what the current teachers union contract is calling for. So had we done this last year, I believe it's 3.14% that teachers got this year. Don't quote me on it. I'm going off of memory from 2 years ago. And at 55, I don't get it anymore. But so the mayor, had he got sworn in January 1st of 2020, January 1st of 2021, he would have got a 3.14%. And then had he got elected again, January 1st, let's say, is a swearing in date of 2022, he would get whatever the teachers got in that fiscal year 21-22. So they would get a raise each and every year.
As long as it's the same person. That's a new mayor, correct. They start correct. With year one.
Yes, right. New mayor drops back to term one. And my last hope, just for discussion, is that we don't wait 15 years to visit this again.
I won't be around. Hey.
Let's face it, it can be visited every year if we want, but let's get where we're at tonight. I think it's good.
Got a motion.
I'd like to move to refer it to committee.
Well, you can't, right?
There's a motion on the floor still.
Yeah, understood.
Any more discussion?
I'd like to, have it talked about a little bit more. I think they were wide apart. They're not close at all.
Any more discussion? All right. We have a motion and a second. Let's say we do a roll call vote on Charlie's proposal. Mark?
Okay. Barbara DiGennaro?
Yes.
Anita Dugato?
No.
Sarah Vidomsky?
No.
Joseph DiMartino?
Recuse myself.
Camille Grandi Curtica?
Yes.
Ronald Phil?
Yes.
Jim DiMartino?
Yes.
Robert Hyder?
Yes.
Charles Sampson?
Yes.
7 yes, 2 no. The motion carries.
6 yes, correct? 2 no's?
Joe recused himself.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. I'm reading off the paper here. 6 yes, 2 no, 1 recused.
All right.
Mayor, I will forward this to your office immediately so that you can have Mr. Garofalo put it in the minutes.
Yep, and then we'll get the corporate counsel just to make sure everything is all set. It should be good. Number 7, executive session.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Good yes. job.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for your input, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
And Chuck, thank you for all the hard work you guys thank did. You. Into 7, executive session. Motion to go in executive session, potential lease of city property, Main Street parcel 8-5-202A. Do you have a motion?
Including who?
Do I have a motion to go in? And I'm going to include...
Don't move.
Do I have a second? Good. Carmen, Marini, Drew. I think that's all we need.
You bring Mark in too for the ease of running the meeting. If that's okay.
Okay, 8:04.
All right. All in favor?
Who won the game?
All right. So put all in Mark and we'll get talking about it.
I'm going to pause the tape.
Motion go back into regular session.
Go move, 8:22.
Ron?
Second, Charlie.
Charlie? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Number 8, regular section. Session action from executive session. Potential lease of city property referred to Main Street parcel 8-5-202A. Discussion possible action. Motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion that we grant the mayor the authority to execute the lease with Mohawk Construction as revised.
Do I have a second?
Second, Rob.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Mr. Sill, number nine.
Motion to adjourn at 8:23, and I need a second.
Second it.
There you go, Camille.
Yep.
Camille. Have a great night.
Good job.